You might like to turn in your Bible to the first epistle of John and chapter 3. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, as we are together, in your presence, we've opened your word, God, for you to help us. Spirit of God, it's your word, based on the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might understand, to be able to withstand, even in these hours and days, that we'd have light in the midst of darkness. And God, we go down the corridor in paths of righteousness. And our Father will thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. And in our first epistle of John that we've been looking at, and we shared together that the problem at this point in history, just before 100 AD, the persecution, all kinds of things were happening that were started way back 50 years ago, but now they're all blossoming like plants, all growing up. And therefore, it's difficult. So the believers that get saved, the Apostle John was way back there in the beginning. He's the last living apostle. And he understands what it was before and what it is now. And so God is using him to write, to help us. God is helping us to understand what them to understand, the opposition and confusion, the corruption, everything that's there, to keep you from what? Simply believing what God has said, what God has done, what God is doing in your life, in their life. To lose the personal relationship that they have a right to it. God gave it and made it real. So therefore, as we read in chapter 3, verse 10, there are the children of the devil and the children of God. And there they are. The world's divided up into saved and unsaved people. No matter who, what, where, no matter religion, whatever it is, go anywhere in the world you wish. If you ask the person, have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? They either have or they haven't, whatever they are. So it's simple. Either saved or you're not saved. And therefore, that's divided up. And so in the process of that, here's the believer and getting clobbered sometime. And so they're looking. And so when we come to chapter 3 and in verse 11, for this is the message that we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, and who was of the wicked one, that's the devil, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. And therefore marvel not, don't get all upset, brethren, if the world hate you. Now, what do the believers need to understand? God has done something wonderful. And when Christ died on the cross, he died for one and all, so that every human being from Adam to the end of the millennium could get saved. That's what he did. So everyone born on this planet could come to know the Lord as a Savior. Christ died for them all. So therefore, having said that, the world loves darkness. Without doing it all, in Genesis 6, we have Noah, and Noah and his family ate. That's all. A world, lots and lots of people in the plain of Shinar. but the unsaved. The world generally does not want to get saved. They generally do not. The world system. The devil has captured the mind and heart, Ephesians 2:2-3. And the world system follows darkness and death. And that's what they do. And they are totally opposed to thinking what? That they're guilty as can be, and that Christ died to save them to have a wonderful life. They don't believe that. They don't want to believe it. They don't want to pay God. They don't like God. Because why? God built us. When Adam and Eve sinned, they went from what? A knowledge of just wonderful relationship to God. And when Adam and Eve sinned, they now had an old nature. And the old nature is evil. The devil said, you'll know good and evil to Eve. You can know good and evil like God does. And she does, and so does Adam, know evil. Evil opposes God, opposes good. Evil does. So Cain comes along, and Cain is what? Well, Cain has an old nature, and he looks at his mother and father and his brother, and that's all there are on planet Earth, and he looks, and so when they get saved, and but they have an old nature, and so does Cain. And Cain chose not to get saved. So Cain's nature is evil. Evil, evil, evil. Hang on to that. That's what he does. And if we don't, we aren't going to do it now, but if we did that, and look to Galatians 5, what does your old nature consist of? You're a murderer. It says you're a murderer, and you're a hatred of God. That you're born with that state of death. But what? A murderer and a hatred of God. So everyone joins the club. Satan wanted them to join the club. They all joined. So now what? Having said that, so therefore, the believer is having to overcome a majority, a huge element, religions and everything, Genesis 10, all over the place. So how do you know the truth? How do you get in? We live in darkness. Which darkness, which direction do we go in darkness? And there are many directions. Broad is the way, which leadeth unto destruction. So many other directions are there. So, God, what are you making clear in 1 John chapter 3? I want you to know surely, without any fuss and without any question, I went to the cross and died. And when you received me as your Savior, I did a wonderful thing and saved you. I did it. Who did it? God. The only God there is. The only God, period. He said, I did that. It cost me my son to do that. Now, you need to understand in a most serious manner, I died to save you. So don't look lightly upon it. Don't be, oh hum, don't do that. It cost me to be your God and Savior in a very personal, intimate way. So don't look upon that lightly. And therefore, the world hates you. And we shared, when we did that, marvel not. Don't be all wondering and amazed that the world has stopped. Stop being amazed. Stop wondering. Why does the world hate us? Stop doing that. There's no question about it. Just to reassure, to lock that in again, quickly, over to the Gospel of John, and Gospel of John, and in chapter 15. And hatred is the expected response of unsaved people. Not religion. Religion's all right. You have your religion, and I have my religion. That's okay. We don't mind that. When you start talking about a personal relationship to a personal God in a personal way, and that you're guilty, and the lake of fire is where you're headed, that is not acceptable. We love darkness rather than light because our deeds are evil. So don't be shocked that the world hates you. You went from light, from darkness to light, and the world hates that. John chapter 15, just to remind yourself, John 15, picking up please, in verse 18 directly. I'll read verse 17 since that's in our movement. Chapter 15, verse 17. These things I command you, that you love one another. If, and it may or may not be true, if the world hates you, and you know that it hated me before it hated you, it hated God. And when you lined up with God, they hate you. You're on the wrong side. That's like for tonight. Now, so therefore, verse 19, if, and it may not be true, if you were of the world would, L-O-V-E, the world would love you. But because you're not of the world, what's the opposite of love? Hate. The world hates you. Don't be surprised. Oh, I'm a nice guy. I don't care. You probably have people in your family. As long as you stay calm and reasonable, I guess, all of that works out. But if you're really going to start growing, they may not be happy with that. So, therefore, in the world, verse 19 again, I'll read it. If you were of the world would love its own, but because you are not of the world, that you have chosen you out of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Chapter 17, the world hates you. And why is that? Chapter 17 and in verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Why? Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world. No, I want them to be little lights in the darkness, but that thou should keep them from the evil, the evil one. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, back over again to 1 John. And in 1 John, picking up chapter 3, and 1 John chapter 3, going if I can, now. And we know, now also don't be surprised, the hate you hated, and we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So we want to try to get that so I understand that better. So therefore we passed from death unto life. Now, go back over to the Gospel of John if you can. Back over to the Gospel of John and picking up, if I may, in chapter 5. Just so you see it and lock it in. Chapter 5, verse 24. Chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. Remember John 3:18. Do it just so you look. Just so you know it. Chapter 3, verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. And verse 20, for everyone, reason, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. That's the way it is. Darkness hates light. It just does. A light. All you need is one little light, and it dissipates the darkness. When you go home in the night, it's very, very dark. How do you get rid of the darkness? You throw the switch, and the darkness disappears. You turn the light on. Ah, now. So, in the light of that, if we can, back over in 1 John. The world hates you. And so therefore, chapter 14, chapter 3, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life. We know that. How do you know it? How do you know it? Because we love the brethren. Now, that isn't a cause. We know it because we love the brethren. In other words, because we love the brethren, we have passed from death unto life. John, we just read verse, I went too fast. John 5 and 24. You have passed from death unto life, period. Permanent. When did that happen? When you believed. Permanent. That's what God's, that's what 1 John's about. Trying to get what? Do you understand what God did when you received him as your Savior? He really, 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 really saved you. And you really, really, really are a child of God, and you need to understand that so that you don't seek to live as if you were unsaved. There's children of the devil. You got saved. You became a child of God. Therefore, make a clear difference between the darkness and the light. Understand, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be in the light and be saved and be in the light in a most wonderful way. So, that little section, clause, because we love the brethren, is a sign. It's an evidence, not a cause. Sign, an evidence. Of what? You want to know? You passed from death unto life? We just read it, John 5, 24. Amen. But if you need, someone else is asking for more evidence. Here's the evidence, the sign, the evidence. We love the brethren. That's the difference. That's the difference. You want to know? That's the evidence you have for the world to see, that you love the brethren. And in the process of doing all those things, we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So, God, here we are looking to you to deal with our heads and our hearts in a wonderful, wonderful way so that we're knowing practically. And God's word is wonderfully, wonderfully always very practical, profitable, and pleases God always. God doesn't tell you something for nothing. He meant it. It's like we shared Deuteronomy 5 and 6 and 7. All these things to Israel, and do them, do them, do them, do them. My word, do it. Not just write it down in your notebook. Do it. Enjoy the life. My words are full of life. Let them live. Let them, let the seed find a good ground in your heart, Matthew 13. Let the seed find good ground in your heart and grow and grow and grow. If you don't do that, then you don't have anything. You don't have it. You're not going to get it. So God, what do I got to do? I need to understand that God, you're the only God and the only Savior. There's no way around it. I don't know what I want to do. People are religious. People are indifferent. People try to be atheist, whatever you want, but you can't get rid of it. You can't get rid of God. Can't get rid of him. He's just going to be there, and you're going to answer to him. So, here we are, marvel not, and you're going to have the evidence by loving the brethren. Now, when we share together, keep in mind, when our Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, he died for everybody. So there's no one that you know that he didn't die for. There's no one that you hate that he didn't die for. There's no one anywhere in the middle of Siberia. There's no one that he didn't die for. He died for all. Same God that saves me, saves you, saves them, if they would believe. So that's got that part. So, and therefore, everyone that receives the Lord as their Savior becomes a child of God, gets saved. God saves them in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And they become a child of God. Who saves them? God does. God in Christ in the believing heart. So, when I receive Christ, Christ found a home in my little heart. When you receive Christ, if you did, Christ found a home in your little heart. And the same Christ saves me, saves you. What are you saying, God? You want to love everything I love, said God. That's the evidence. I love what? Believers. Believers need to be saved. They need to enjoy being saved. Not carnal, not fleshly. They need to enjoy being saved in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And God saves them. So now, and therefore, God in you and God in me, God says, love me. Love me. Love. God says, love me. Keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Honor my word. So when I love, God says, love me. But then, God, you're over there. That's right. Love me. Love me. Love me. Same God, saving each one. Love me. By this will all men know that you are my disciple. Love me. And the believing heart that's really saved. And now, remember, keep in mind, it gets so much stuff. You understand? We share together, abiding, John 15 and that. I am the vine, ye the branches, he that abideth in me, and the same in you, bears much fruit. And then the end of verse 5, without me, you can do nothing. And nothing means nothing. Nothing plus nothing, and we're going to do nothing. How nothing is it going to be? We're going to put the zero on the board and then erase it. We're going to erase the nothing. 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 Right. Nothing. So therefore, God, what are you going to do? God, I have to abide. What do you know from Galatians? Hang on, go over there for a minute. Over to Galatians. And chapter 5. In Galatians in chapter 5, remember what John 15, 5, the fruit of the Spirit, and his fruit, bear much fruit, without me you can do nothing. Okay, now, where's the fruit come from? But now, I've got to go back to my illustration I tried. Here's the tree out there. And here's the branches on the tree. Here they are. Here's the fresh branch. I can see one. Here's the branch with the leaves and make-believe fruit, pear tree, and looking at that. And you know, as long as that branch stays attached to the tree, it will have the leaves characteristic of the pear tree. It'll have the pears. That's what it's going to do. And every branch is the same. They aren't. It's other trees. But they aren't like that. Only that tree. Christ said, I'm the Savior. And when you believe in me, and you become like a vine and the branch, you're going to abide in me. And so that people look and see you, your life. But then what? They look at all the other branches in that tree, because that's what evidence of the tree. And here's the branches. And they're all the same leaves and all the same pears. That's what they are. By this will you know it's a pear tree. By this will you know it's a pear tree. Not just one branch. The branches are all related. They know it. Christ in you and Christ in me and Christ in us makes us one. That's what God's saying. And you can't abide if you don't abide in Christ, you aren't enjoying fruit. And Galatians chapter 5, I started to tell you. And the Spirit of God, chapter 5, Galatians, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, etc. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to what? To bring the love of God into reality. I can say love and 7,000 times. You gotta get the force of love, the power of love, the power. God is love. What do you want, God? And remember, don't use our word, love. Don't go by your people use it. Don't do that. God, your love. And you want what? You love us. For what? You're loving us to know you, to love you. Right. We love God because he first loved us. We're looking to God for God to love as God loves us. And what are we doing? We're letting God love us. And what's he going to do? He's moving us, changing us. To what? To enjoy himself, simply. Simply what? God loves us to know him and enjoy him. Simple. That's what it's about. That's what God wants, love. So as I enjoy, if I'm letting God love me and I'm abiding, then the Spirit of God is bringing that love into the reality and God is loving. I don't have to feel it or find it in my elbow. That just is true. God, it's just true. God's loving me. And since God's loving me, God's loving me, I love God. I love what God loves. God loves you. I love that branch and that branch and that branch. I love them. And people, look, as we gather together on the Lord's Day, assemble, what are we for? To honor what? To honor God. Believers, branches. And only as you're abiding. If you don't abide, there's no love coming out of you. You understand? You have to be attached. So you say, well, you love your brethren. I can love them. I can only love them and enjoy a reciprocal love as they are abiding. If you aren't abiding and I'm not abiding, there is no relationship. There is no evidence. I need to be abiding and you need to be abiding and we're loving each other. Not with the worldly thing. Forget that. With God's love. God has a wonderful plan for our life. And we're letting God outwork that plan. Same God, same God, same life, same love, same Lord. Everything's working itself out in a wonderful way. And the world looks and says, well, you must be believers. That's why they, Acts 11, they were first called Christians in Antioch. Why? Why were they called Christians? Because the world, they didn't pick it up, the world said it. You are so like Christ. You are so like Christ. Christians. 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 That's what you are. That's what the evidence is. I love the brethren. But if you aren't abiding, there's no relationship going to be. It has to be abiding. And therefore, you cannot have, back over to 1 John. And in chapter 1, 1 John, chapter 1, verse 3. Verse 3, chapter 1, 1 John. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. That purpose ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You cannot have fellowship without God. God has to be in it. The whole business involves God. Love the brethren. God loving me. God loving me. God loving you. It's all about God, not about us. It's about God's wonderful grace. You cannot have biblical fellowship without God. You can have people and friends and churches, and we do all the different things, but we don't include, without God, there is no fellowship. If God isn't in the equation and we're abiding, then God's in the equation and it's real. Otherwise, we're just carnal and fleshly and we do what we do. And it's quite good. Good Protestants, good Catholics, Muslim, whatever you want. We are. Yep, that's what we are. And it satisfied us. Do we ever have to get to God? No. No, like we did in Sunday school. God what? God says, listen, you had to want to get saved. You don't want to get saved, you don't have to. You don't have to know the Lord as your Savior. Absolutely. It's your choice. And you have to want to get saved. But believers have to want to what? Have a relation. Believers want to have, need to have life. That's what they need to have. God died, took you to the cross to give you his life, his resurrected life. And where am I going to get his directed, his resurrected life? By the Spirit of God. That's his ministry, to bring that life into reality. And that's where our oneness is. So you don't want to go all the ways to, so I'm just trying to say one way, one of the little windows to see this. You just need to see, there is no fellowship or togetherness. I don't care where. You could read the Bible all together out loud with perfect enunciation and pronunciation and do all of it. But God, if God isn't in it, forget it. God has to be in it. Otherwise, it's our being religious. Religious Protestants, that's what we do. God has to be in it. I have to be abiding. Branch. But I don't. I don't. But then you don't. You don't have to. Your life. You live it the way you wish. You will anyway. You will anyway. So, God, what are we doing? You understand? That's why our nation, with its churches all over the world, what happened to the awesome testimony of the book of Acts? It's gone down, 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 down to where it is now. And therefore, Revelation chapter 3, when I come, will I find the body of truth? And the answer is no. Luke 18, in the process. Well, come, I would. I would. You're hot or cold. There is no neutral, plus or minus, life or death. Do you understand? Right or wrong. There is no middle. There is no middle in it. You have to be one or the other. You're either hot or cold. You're either connected, abiding, and you got the fruit and leaves, or you're disconnecting and no fruit and leaves. Simple as that. And that's why being Christians, not us, not you guys, of course, of being so-called Christian isn't very exciting to me. If I look out there, there's nothing out there that you're going to be a Christian like. I don't want to be a Christian like that. Come on. Come on. That's like a badge. When you join them, if you had to be in the army, military or something, police, whatever, sports team, don't you want to have to practice? And you practice, so what, do you want to go out in the game? You're looking to play a real game. You're looking for reality. That's what you're looking for. You want to enjoy reality. That's what God's looking for. That's the evidence. The evidence. You're real. You're real. That's, people can see that. They can see it. And that's what you need to understand. So therefore, in 1 John and in chapter 3, we know that we love the brethren. So in the process, Now, in order to see that a little bit, picking it up if I can, in the process. So, here we are looking, and in chapter. I didn't mean to do that. Yeah. Over, if you can, please. I had a note here to see. Do it a different way so you see it. Now, God, what we're just trying to share with each other is a personal thing. It's a wonderful thing. It isn't because of anything. You're good or bad. I like you. I don't like you. It's nothing to do with that. And if you abide in Christ and I'm abiding in Christ, you bet your boots we get along. You bet your boots we get along like nothing. We do. I didn't care what you were. It could be you could have killed my mother and father. We'd still get along. You abide, I'm going to get along with you, man. You got leaves and pears just like me. We're together. Yep, we're one. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over to Matthew, and just to begin to see all the different ways. So it says, love your brother. It doesn't mean love everybody in any old way, and carnal and fleshly, that doesn't work. That just doesn't work. That's what we try to make work, but it doesn't work. Come on. I could have this meant love. You don't hear it too much anyway. Well, let's love the brethren. Yeah, we love the brethren. We'll have a dinner. Okay? And everyone bring a potluck, and we'll all be together. And we love the brethren. Now, that's nice to have the dinner. That's nice to be together. But that isn't loving the brethren. That isn't going to make loving the brethren. You know, loving the brethren is when you're abiding. And I'm abiding, and we tune in like that. Tune in, I got it. We're on the same page. Same God. He crucified us and gave us a wonderful life, and we need to live it and enjoy it. That's what he's trying to say. So therefore, Matthew in chapter 5. And in Matthew chapter 5, picking up, please, if I may, in verse 43. 5 and 43. Our Lord, you have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. And by the way, just aside, here's the Ten Commandments, and here's the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, first four commandments, Matthew 20, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love thy neighbor. I created them. Back to what we said before. I created everybody. I died for them. You can't hate them like that. I'm going to condemn them to hell. But you have to what? Are you going to love them like the brethren? You can't. They can't. They don't abide. There's no connection. There's no pears, no leaves. You can't. But you do what? You know that Christ died for them. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thus, keep reading. But I say unto you, love your neighbor, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that it may be that the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to shine, sunrise, on the evil and on the good. The rain, shower, food, everything is good and bad, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which hate you, love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do the same? And if you salute your brethren only, and do not more do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans do those? The bad guys do that. Verse 48: Be ye therefore perfect, complete, as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. You want to look to God. Agree, harmonize with God. He's, think of the pear tree. God, I'm the vine, you're the branches. God said, abide. Abide in me. I'm perfect. God said, you be perfect. I produce pears and leaves. You produce pears and leaves. That's what you do. Be perfect. Be holy, for I am holy. I'm holy. You're attached. You're abiding. You have to be holy. You have to have everything, what? That God's capable of giving to you in his person. Now, so therefore, if I may, keeping that in mind, over to chapter 11. And in chapter 11, going if I can, in verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For the mighty works which were done in you have been done in Tyre and Sidon. They would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, and to bring down, and thou shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee have been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. Verse 21, I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. You had so much more advantage. You never took it. It'll be easier for Sodomites than it will be for you in the lake of fire. Now, having said that, go back over to pick it up, chapter 10. And you'll see it. God, aren't you loving everybody? He sure is. At the same time, he's condemning them. He wants them saved. You and I want them saved. But you may, as a policeman of war, you have to shoot somebody. That's what you have to do. And people are bad. People are very bad. And what are we told in the Gospel of John, in Romans 16, etc.? Mock them and avoid them. Mock them and avoid them. Avoid them. They're kind of Christians that cause division. Cause division in the church. Avoid them. Not love them. I do love them. But avoid them, you see. Pick up chapter 10. You'll see it. Chapter 10, in verse 11. And into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, require who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return unto you. In other words, if they receive you when they're of the same mind, you're all set. But if they aren't, they're condemned. Walk out the door. But I'm loving them. That's right. I'm honoring God. They don't want to abide. They don't want my God. And they hate God, like David's going to say. I hate God. I hate God. I love you. I hate the system. The system is a lousy system. We live in it. We need to live in it and be at peace with all men as much as possible. That's all. You aren't going to be able to have everything because it isn't that kind of world. It's that loves darkness rather than light. Therefore, sliding along, if I can, verse 14, whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city. Yeah. It's there. It's where it is. And so God, we're looking out there. And God, it's awesome things you're saying. You're telling us. So God, what are you saying? You have to love the brethren. You have to abide. That's the evidence. Not sitting together. Not even singing. Not even studying. If you leave God out, what do you have? What on earth do you have? Information You don't have anything. Where's life? Where's the pears? Where's the leaves? That's the main thing. It's hard. I know this is hard. Because no one does this. No one even wants to think about it. Really want to weigh it down. Man, you think the church is great? Well, I don't think so. And the system, I don't like it. But you don't like it either. It's just a system we live in. And it does no life. It deceives me to think, oh, I went to this and I had that. And we talked about the Bible. You can do all of those wonderful things. But you don't have any life. And I lost out. I lost out in it. I didn't get it. I need life. Hang on now. So therefore, having said that, over to 2 Corinthians and chapter 6. In 2 Corinthians and chapter 6, we stumbled through this a little bit, but I hope you got a little bit. It's a hard thing. It's not common. And the reality is, it's hard. It's hard. But, chapter 6, God, what are we doing? Well, we understand what? We live in a world that hates you. That's right, it hates you. So therefore, we don't love the haters of God. We love the way God, you want them saved, but we don't love how they treat you. God, we don't love how they handle your word, and they crucified you. They crucified you. And said, crucify him, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. We have no king. No, that's not my crowd. No, no, no. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? They're two different worlds. Darkness is one, light's another. Children of God, children of the devil, one or the other. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, an unbeliever? Verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. You're a temple. You're God's place, God's habitation. God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What a privilege. Verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I have a wonderful word, but you got to understand, this has to be on my terms. You have to involve me. If you leave me out and you don't abide, and you leave out my fellowship, you're not going to have anything. Because without me, you can do it. You forgot already. John 15:5. Without me, you can do nothing. What do you think nothing means? What do you think I've been saying? I'm trying to tell you, it won't work. You have to include God. You leave God out, you're missing out. That's why you got saved, isn't it? You got saved to have a unique relationship to Almighty God in an awesome way, to enjoy God. That's why you got saved. That's why you have your sins forgiven. That's why you're new creatures in Christ. That's why you walk in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's what you're doing. And that ought to be your life. I've come, John 10, I've come that they might have life and might have it, what? More abundantly. I want you to have an overflowing life. Overflowing. Yeah, overflowing. It's a wonderful life. In the midst of all the lousy stuff in the world and in your body, in your old nature. Isn't it wonderful God has given you a whole new window to look at everything? Wow, I got to quit. Our Father and God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us. God, Spirit of God, help us understand and be patient with us. Here we are, God. we're trying to get there. And God, it's a, we just try to do it as if we were running the whole show. And it isn't about us. It's about your saving grace. It's about your sovereign will. It's about your awesome love that you want us to enjoy. You're a wonderful person in an extraordinary way to have the wonderful outworking of our life as we go down the corridor of time to honor you and honor you, to know you in a very practical, profitable, pleasing way. And our God, we thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.